So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22. Prithu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras. Next, number 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Maitreya Uvacha. Pritosh. Tat. Suktam. Akaranyam. Saram. Sustu. Nitam. Madhu. Smayamana. Iva, Pritya, Kumarai, Pratyuvacha, Ha, Maitreya Uvacha, Pritosat Shuktam Akarnyam, Saram Sustu Mitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratya Uvacha, Maitreya Uvacha, Vitasat Suktam Akarnyam, Saram Sastu Mitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratya Uvacha, Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Saram Sustu Minitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratyuvacha. Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Saram Sustu Mitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratyu Vacha, Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Saram Sustu Mitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratyu Vacha, Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Saram Sustu Mitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratyu Vacha.
Any messages?
Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Saram Sustu Mitam Madhu, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umara Pratyu Vacha, Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Sadram Sustu Nitam Madhu, Smayamana Vipritya, Umara Pratyu Vacha, Maitreya Uvacha, Vitastat Suktam Akarnyam, Smayamana Iva Pritya, Umataya Pratupachan.
Maitreya Vacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Vitol of King Pritu. Tat. That. Shuktam. Vedic conclusion. Akaranya. Hearing. Sharam. Very substantial. Sushtu. Appropriate. Mitam. Minimized. Madhu. Sweet to hear. Smayamana. Smiling. Eva. Like. Hritya. Out of great satisfaction. Kumara. Celibate. Pratyuvacha. Replied. Ha. Thus. Translation of purport by divine grace of Bhojaranaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. The great sage Maitreya continued, thus, Shanab Kumar, the best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, which was meaningful, appropriate, full of precise words and very sweet to hear, smiled with full satisfaction and began to speak as follows. Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya continued, thus, Sunat Kumar, the best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, which was meaningful, appropriate, full of precise words, and very sweet to hear, smiled with full satisfaction, and began to speak as follows. Purport. Prithu Maharaj's talks with the Kumaras are very laudable because of so many qualifications. A speech should be composed of selected words, very sweet to hear and appropriate to situation. Such speech is called meaningful. All these good qualifications are present in Prithu Maharaj's speech because he is a perfect devotee. It is said, Yashati bhaktir bhagavati yakinchana shaver gunas tatra samash shatejura. For one who has unflinching devotional faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is engaged in his service, all good qualities become manifest in his person. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Thus, the Kumaras were very much pleased. And Sunat Kumar began to speak as follows. Om Agyanta Midanda Shajanan Jalan Chalakayu Chakshuran Mintanti Matashmai Shri Jivu Maha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karada Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So here we see the very nice dealings of the Vaishnavas. Very sweet, meaningful words because they know what to speak and they know what is meaningful. Whereas others, speeches who do not know the meaning of life, it's actually simply a show, if everyone's putting on a show, of being nice, actually with the purpose of exploiting others. This is the motivation behind the sweet words and the nice etiquette and behavior. But the devotees know the real purpose of life is to glorify the Supreme Person of Godhead. So therefore, in relation to the Supreme Person of Godhead, then the words become very meaningful and very sweet, glorifying all devotees as parts and parcels of Krishna, as great representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is quite appropriate, then we can glorify such personalities. But what use is glorifying personalities? We don't know the meaning of life. And are simply interested in their own and engrossment. So here the Kumaras were very pleased to speak. He was being asked questions, and because he knew Pretty Maharaj was such a great devotee of Krishna and he was executing his duties as a king so perfectly, making the citizens Krishna consciousness, so the Kumaras were very pleased, because their only business actually is to go around enlightening people in Krishna consciousness. So they're universally respected, great sages, whose only business is actually is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now they've appeared on the auspicious scene and made it more auspicious by their presence, and that now they're going to glorify the Lord and everything in relation to the Lord. First he begins by glorifying the qualities of Maharaj Pritu, or perceiving the qualities of Maharaj Pritu, and he's becoming very happy to speak. So you see, Maharaj is going to give enlightenment to everyone. So speech is so nice, it's so important. You can create a nice atmosphere, or you can also destroy a nice atmosphere, depending on the subject matter, from the tone of the words, the expressions. But we see the dealings of the Vaishnavas in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Conversations that they had, Lord is having with his devotees, it's so sweet. Actually, you have to cry when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing the sweet dealings of the devotees. Yesterday we were hearing our Mukunda Datta, he took Pundarik, he took Gadadhar Pandit to see Pundarik. He said, there's a great Vaishnava here. I know you really love to see great Vaishnavas in their association. So I'll take you to meet this great Vaishnava. You'll be very happy. So come with me, I'll show you where he is. And the only thing I'm asking in return is that you always consider me your servant. Really sweet. I'm doing you a favor. The only thing I'm asking in return, you always consider me your servant. This is a very sweet word. So, also what's being expressed here, and it's been Prabhupada's quoting this verse in the purport from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I can read that. This is from the fifth canto, 5.18.12. Yashakti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana shave gunas tatra samasti suraha harab bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratina sati dhato bahi. Translation: all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, the person devoid of devotional service and engaged in materialistic activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at practicing the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? In that chapter, I believe it's the forest of material enjoyment. I may be wrong, but anyway, it's the life story of, it's a story of going on of one personality. And in the end he dies, and then he has to go to hell. But he was following everything perfectly. He was following all the rules and regulations of Varnashram perfectly. He was looking after his family members. He was doing everything perfectly according to the rules. He says, even if he's the honest endeavor of maintaining family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculation and engaged in the Lord's external energy. So he's following everything so perfectly, doing everything you should do. It's all Vedic, it's all prescribed in the Vedic. But as a result, he had to go to hell because he was attached to his family members. So how you cannot be attached? You're looking after someone, treating them nicely and bringing them up, giving them everything they want. Obviously you're going to become attached. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but because of the attachment, he has to go to and see hell. Because it's not connected directly with Krishna. If the same thing was connected to Krishna, then he wouldn't have to see hell. He could bring his family up, Krishna conscious, and look after them in a Krishna conscious way. Then they won't go to hell. So actually, how can there be any good qualities in such a person who is not a devotee? This is the idea. They're just on the manorata. They're running around on the mind. Mental speculation. What is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, what should I do, what should I not do? They don't know what to do, but they are the eternal servants of Krishna. They should be engaging in Krishna's service. And everything becomes perfect by this one activity of Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada is saying in the purport, he's quoting Bhagavad Gita, that all living entities in this conditioned in this material world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditional life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, including the mind. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. When one engages themselves in the nine processes of devotional service, one's heart immediately becomes purified and immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. So, revival of, as Prabhupada always uses this term, revival of our Krishna consciousness. So when you revive your Krishna consciousness, as being pointed out here, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, when you understand the part, then you'll understand the whole, qualitatively. But we are small samples of this, particles of this. So, this is the idea. By becoming Krishna consciousness, you revive your Krishna consciousness, you understand your part of Krishna, and so you're able to perceive the actual qualities of Krishna that are in Krishna, they're inherent in Krishna. So, minutely of course, but at least you can perceive them. So this is the Krishna consciousness process. That Chaitodarpanamajanam, it begins, Krishna consciousness begins at this point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission begins at this point. Chaitodarpanamajanam, first clean the heart, the beginning point. Then everything is understood. When you understand, when the heart is clean, you'll be able to understand the self. When you understand the self, then you're going to perceive all the good qualities that are inherent in Krishna. Because when you're understanding the part, you're understanding the whole to some extent. So this is called aham brahmasmi, understanding I am Brahman. When one actually realizes himself, then he realizes all the qualities of Vaishnavas. Because these are all originally qualities of Krishna. We're always asking about these qualities and glorifying and trying to attain these wonderful qualities that we hear about. Why we would want to do that? Because they're attractive. Why they're attractive? Because they're Krishna's qualities. It's Krishna's qualities we're attaining. That's why they're so attractive. If a person has these qualities, he becomes attractive, because they're Krishna's qualities. So they're inherent in Krishna. They're also inherent in the part and parcel, but in a smaller degree. But when we actually awaken to this Krishna consciousness, then we can understand the nature of Krishna. So that's why Krishna consciousness is called the immediate process. The process of bhakti is immediately, because from the very beginning you're engaging everything in devotional service. You're understanding you're Krishna's servant. All the other processes of self-realization, etc., they're doing the same thing also. They want to purify their heart. If you see any process, it generally has got to cleanse the heart, come to that program of cleansing the heart. The jnanis, they have to clean the heart to understand the Hamramashmi, so they can achieve their goal of Brahman. The yogis have to understand, purify their heart to understand the Paramatma. The karmas have to purify their heart to rise from ignorance to passion to the goodness. So it's all pure, it's all a purificatory process. But the devotional process is immediate, because the devotee, everyone, immediately we understand that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. So then we engage in Krishna's service. So simply by being situated constitutionally, the heart becomes purified. It's like in puja, there's different types of purification that go on. That the different yogis are using, the jnanis, and they're all using different types of purificatory methods. Especially the yogic system, it starts from asanam, pranayam, all the eightfold yoga systems, all purification, purification, purification. The jnani, he has to do all of his studying and purify his mind slowly, slowly by knowledge. But the devotee, instead of going through this whole process of yoga, he simply understands. Naham vipchona prati na vaisha na sudro naham bharani na chatpa kintu patan nikila paramananda gopi pariyo kamala das das das. So this is in puja we use this as yoga, as purification. So immediately you remember this mantra, what am I? It's the beginning of that mantra. I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Vanapra. I'm none, it's negative. So what's a positive? Yes, I identify myself as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the master of the Gopi. Gopinath. So this is our identity. It's given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're the eternal servant of Gopinath. So the devotees chant that mantra, and immediately brings their consciousness into its constitutional nature. I am the servant of Krishna. Gopi Padio Kamala Das Das Das. I am the servant. So immediately the consciousness is fixed, pure, then the intelligence becomes pure, the mind becomes pure, and the senses become pure. Because we're only acting in Krishna consciousness. So it's reversing the situation. The yogis, they've got to work from the bottom. Sitting place, meditation on the different parts of the body, purifying the ascending process. But for the devotees, they immediately start on the platform of pure consciousness by the association of pure devotees. So we fix our minds that Krishna is the Supreme Person, we are his servants, and we engage in service, and everything becomes purified because the consciousness is purified, it's situated properly. So therefore it's an instant process, Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada describes it as the immediate process. So it's called sambandha, self-realization. When we realize Brahman, because you've got connection. Sambandha means connection, so you have connection with spirit. To understand spirit, you have to become spirit. So this this is the a revival of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. It's a revival, an awakening process. Mahaprabhu is saying, Jeev-jago, Jeev-jago, Gaurachand. It's an awakening process. We're always hearing, I'm not this body. I'm not this body. But what we are, that we don't hear so much negative. But the positive side, yes. No, we are spirit, we are Brahman. That's our natural situation. It's not it's not some high position that's far away from us. It is us. We are far away from our consciousness has now become removed from it. But actually, that is our existence as part and parcel of Krishna. So we have all these qualities. So, realizing the eternal nature, one's eternal, it's called self-realization. Kim tat brahman, kim adi atma. Arjuna is asking Krishna, what is Brahman? What is the self? Krishna says, the living entity is Brahman, Arjuna. And his eternal nature is called the self. So actually, to understand the self, one has to understand his eternal nature. It's an existence. There is an eternal existence. But we're not perceiving it at the moment. What we're perceiving is this temporary existence. Everything we know as a beginning and an end. But we don't know something that doesn't have a beginning. Maybe many of you have. Self-realization means you understand the eternal nature, which is Krishna's nature, Sat. He's Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means eternal nature. Sandini. Sandini potency, the existential potency. The Dharma is made of Sandini. It exists, everything exists. Then, when it's existing, then Mahaprabhu can come and perform his pastimes. So there has to be an existence. So that is Brahman. Sandini, the eternal nature. So, the living entity is also of the same nature. So when we awaken to that, our natural consciousness is simply covered, that's all. So when we awaken to that, then we can understand the eternal nature and all the good qualities that are with that eternal nature. Chit Ananda, Lord Chaitanya is conscious, a conscious person, and he's always engaging in pastimes of bliss. But you've got to have a place to do that. You've got to have a dharma to do that. So he expands as the existence, and so that's Balaram Shakti, Shandini. Then the Shakti. This is why we forget. You know, the material world is I'm so attractive. I'm so, it keeps takes your consciousness away. It doesn't stop either. At least it won't stop. So. Yeah, so Sandini, Nityananda Prabhu expands as Sandini, the existential post. Now Mahaprabhu has a place to come and perform his past. So he's a conscious person. And with that consciousness, he wants to enjoy pleasure. So then that means relationship, pastimes. So Satchitananda, the Lord is performing these pastimes. So generally the realization is coming in stages. First the Sat feature should be realized, the eternal feature, our eternal nature. Yeah. Then chit, and then the Ananda aspects. Prabhupada gives an example. If you analyze a cup of ocean water, you can understand the constitution of the whole ocean of water. You've only got a cup full, but you know it's salty and it's wet. Okay. So you can understand the whole ocean is like that. So similarly, when we understand the part, when we wake up to that part, what we are, then we're going to understand the nature of Krishna, his nature. Minutely, not as great as Krishna. But at least we'll be... And then relationship can start. Otherwise, how can relationship be with spirit and matter? It cannot, there's no relationship. So we have to come into this eternal platform. That's where the relationship, spiritual relationship, will take place. So this is the idea of a... The whole process of purification. So we see simultaneously, we're also using these processes of jnana, and there's so much jnana actually, Bhagavad Gita, yoga also. We're using these processes And but simply for conviction. We think we need knowledge, we think we need. All these good qualities, self-control, mind control, all the different processes. We think we need all these good qualities. We should work for them. I have to get them by my endeavor. And we're encouraged to do this also in the Bhagavad Gita and all the scriptures. Why? Because of lack of faith in Krishna and complete dependence in Krishna. Due to our conditional nature, we're used to achieving things by our own endeavor. But still in spiritual life, we're endeavoring to. Now we're endeavoring by my activities, by my endeavor, I'll control my mind, control my senses, I'll become peaceful, I'll develop all these good qualities. by my endeavor. But it's because of lack of faith in the holy name, in Krishna. And our relationship with Him. If we completely depend on Krishna, then He will reveal everything. But at the moment we depend on our own abilities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this is symptom of an unfortunate person. Lord Chaitanya is coming to give freely. He has Krishna consciousness through the chanting of Hare Krishna. He's giving Krishna prayer. But people are thinking, well, I'll do it by my own endeavor. He's giving freely, and no, I'll work for it my way, whatever I am. I'm a jnani, yogi, kami. By my endeavor, I'll get it. He said, this is a symptom of an unfortunate person. So because of lack of faith, we're also unfortunate that we're trying so many processes. But when that faith is strong, and you're completely dependent on Krishna, then you have no problem. And Krishna can reveal all that if He wants to, and if He doesn't want to, I'm still satisfied, I'm just saying. Is dependent on Krishna in the Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur's verse in explaining that verse. He says, now the others are asking, what is your devotees, what is your process? They say, we don't have a process. What do you mean you don't have a process? Everybody has a process for crossing over the material existence. What process did the devotees say? They say, we don't have a process. They say, why not? They say, we don't need a process. Because Krishna says, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. I come riding on great peak rock. We don't need a process. We're just dependent on Krishna. So like that, if we can depend on Krishna, then Krishna will reveal everything. But because of our lack of faith and the pride of our own abilities to achieve things by ourselves, therefore we become unfortunate. So the more we become fortunate, means our faith increases, then we can actually fully surrender to Krishna and take complete shelter and understand that, yeah. Nam nam kodi bahuda nivasaro shak. Everything is there in the holy name. What do you want? Sense control is in the holy name. Mind control is in the holy name. You want pleasing words? It's all in the holy name. Everything is in the holy name. We have that implicit faith, and I'm the servant of the holy name. So a devotee can be satisfied just to understand that Krishna is so kind, Mahaprabhu is so kind, He's giving us His service. Radha and Krishna's service is very difficult to get, you won't get that. Very difficult, unless you're highly qualified. Radha and Krishna now appearing as Mahaprabhu, and they're saying, I'm not caring for your qualification, or your disqualification here. You simply take, He's giving. So in this way the devotee is very grateful. Mahaprabhu has come and given us service to Radha and Krishna. So we can just perform that service with complete faith and dependence on Krishna. Actually everything becomes revealed. So that's why it's called immediate process bhakti. So depending on our faith and our surrender, it can be, Prabhupada said, one moment Krishna can't, or it can take a long time, may take many lifetimes. So anyway, Prithu Maharaj, obviously, a self-realized person, he was a very unusual birth, he's an Saktavesh avatar, he was a great king. These Vishnu came to see him personally, the four Kumaras came to see him personally, he had great association. So Therefore, he's able to speak nicely, he's able to deal with everyone nicely, he's able to engage all the citizens in Krishna consciousness as a king. Prithu Maharaj was also here in Nabadweep. He dug the Prithu Kund here, but in between the Chaitanya Math and Murari Gupta's house, there's a rice field, you see. There's a little road going across to Murari Gupta's house from the Chaitanya Math. Otherwise, it's a rice field, a long rice field. It's called Balal Digi. Digi means a long pond. So King Balal, Lakshman Sen, excavated it later and he named it Balal Digi after his father, Balal Sen, who was a king here. So previously it was known as Prithu Kunda, now it's known as Balal Digi. But previously it's known as Prithu Kunda. Maharaj Prithu excavated that. When he was flattening, he was leveling the earth because he wanted to produce grains. We heard the story. And so he was leveling the earth. He came here. This is why everything is so flat here in Mayapur and Bengal. And Prithu Maharaj came and he leveled all the mountains and everything. And when they got here to Nambadweep, they're saying, Maharaj, is a great effulgence coming from this place. We don't know what it is. So he went in meditation because he was a Saktivesh avatar. And he understood this was Nambadweep and Lord Chaitanya is going to be here in the Kali Yuga. So he understood. So he had that big pond, that long pond dug there. Now a rice field. So he's... maybe even his pastime took place there. Some of these pastimes took place in Nambadweep. Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals for it. You can't understand how Bhaktivinoda comes to a conclusion, but he says, here he's talking about Nabadeva. It's all these Vedic conclusions, they're talking about Nabadeva. You can't really understand, but one time he mentions also Prithu Kund. He says there is a lake, and there is a golden temple, and he says this lake is Prithu Kund, and the other lake is the Ganga, the other river is the Ganga. Somehow or another, he has that vision he can see. But you look in the Sanskrit sloka, you can't really figure it out. But anyway, it's an astonishing place. So anything can happen here. The Kumaras also stay here. They've descended. Maybe they descended from, came from other people. So, of course, they have different, they can take on different forms. Or simultaneously appear in different places. But they stay in Bilva Bikash, that's Belbakoria. The other side of Shimanti Temple, Shimanti Beach. The four Kumaras stayed there. Nimbarkacharya, he came here and they were doing Kirtan and Bhajan, and then Lord Shiva appeared to Nimbarka and said, I'm very pleased with your devotion, but you should go and see the four Kumaras, they live here. They should become your gurus. So immediately, he went and he saw the four Kumaras, they sit there. You know Sachimata's house there, the deity of Madan Gopal, in Belpakor. Not far from there, there's a Bilva Pushkarini. Apparently Jayapataka Maharaj said it's near there. There's a Pushkarini with a pond. Pond is there. There, in that area somewhere. Anyway, Nimbarka, they revealed themselves to Nimbarka. He saw them brilliant, four little babies. So they were very pleased with Nimbarka, and they asked him for benediction. He wanted to have a sampradaya, so they initiated him into Radha and Krishna mantras, and then he became Nimbarka. He became the leader of the Nimbarka sampradaya, which is known as the Kumara sampradaya. There's four sampradayas, so the Kumara sampradaya. Coming from the Kumaras. So they initiated him here. So this took place here. So the Kumaras were here. Prithu Maharaj was here also. Same place. So this is the glory of Nambadweep Dham. So So, sweet speech. And maybe it wasn't so sweet, but I think there's some sweet here. Put on the icing, but there is something else. Some prasadam has turned up. And today is the birthday of a very sweet person. Very sweet person. Actually, two persons. And one of them is very, very old Srila Prabhupada disciple. Very exemplary behavior. Went through the Brahmacharya Ashram, Vihastha Ashram, and Vanaprastha Ashram. Very learned, very knowledgeable. Always happy, skipping, dancing. Literally. And his name is Sureshwara Prabhu Ki Jai. Hari Bol. And he is giving so much contribution for Mayapur and this one Mayapur. Every year he comes, he teaches so many students. Bhakti Shastri, others also, Bhakti Vaibhav. So he's a very much a lovable character, lovable figure. And another person's birthday, this person is even more glorious, even though she's not Prabhupada's disciple. In the aspect that she's a Dambasi. She was born in the Dham. And her father is Pujari, about 20, 30 years or more. Very steady, Nithai Balaram Das, does a Mangalarti without fail every morning for so many years. Mother is making all of Radha Madhava's dresses. Keshavi Mataji. And the daughter's name is Anjulali Mataji, Hari Bol. I consider her my daughter. I was here when she was born, and I used to. Actually, it was two sisters. It was an astrologer told me you'll have two children. So I took it. I had to work out that karma somehow or another. So I had these two daughters I consider my children. I used to pick them up and play. The brahmacharis didn't appreciate much. But anyway, I would pick them up and play with them. So I considered my karma had to come out somehow or another. So I had two little daughters. So I considered my daughter, Manjulali, very talented, Dambasi. So we're praying for Shugashi's mercy on his birthday. It's a very auspicious day to give your blessings to everyone. And Manjulali, and perhaps you can come and cut your cakes and distribute a little bit. Suresh Prabhu ki, Manjulali Dasiki, Jai Gopi Manandi.